Do I go up now?
Come on.
Did he give you the recording?
Oh, yeah. All right, so some of you guys know John Curry, a.k.a. Fish. I asked him to share his testimony partly because I preached in Athens on Thursday, and for some reason Athens was like, he was at UGA, and it was like really draining. It was like, I was really like scared and nervous. I don't know why, but so I decided to ask Fish to share his testimony. But it's also because Fish, if you guys don't know, Fish is moving to North Carolina in a month?
About a month and a half.
In about a month and a half. So he's moving, but God has done a lot. He's been on this tremendous journey in his faith. He got saved not too long ago, and he's going to kind of share like the continuation that he heard when he got saved, his testimony, the continuation of what God has been doing. Okay, but I'm going to ask Aaron, can you come up here? And who else was that? Julian. Will you? Sang. Yeah, Sang's better. Yeah, come here. Not better than Julian. Sang and Julian. Yes. Please come up here.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm messing this whole thing up.
Stop it.
Oh, thank you.
So, Aaron, can you pray for Fish, and we'll all pray in agreement.
Okay.
He needs a lot of prayer.
Jesus, I thank you for today. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to listen to what Fish, John, has to say, what you've done in his life. I thank you so much for constantly being there for him in every situation, and even in this situation. I just pray that you would speak through him into each and every one of our lives, and he wouldn't be so nervous and shaky or in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So as always, the reason why we do testimonies is it's really important for you guys to recognize
Stop, man.
Like me. It's like normal people, everyday people, you guys too. You should be living out the testimony to encourage others, right? Because God is doing stuff in your life. And you might not think it's a big deal, but when we get to hear what God is doing in your life, we're also very encouraged. And so when Fish shares his testimony, I want to encourage you not to look at your cell phones, not to like fall asleep, because it's not easy to come up and share your testimony.
It's not.
Right? It's not easy. And so there might come a time where you will be sharing your testimony, and I don't believe in karma, but you know, like, yeah?
Is the light on? Just change it off
give
the hat.
Give it a second. All right, so no phones and sleeping.
All right, good morning, everyone. If you've heard my testimony before, like, this is kind of, I'm trying to do something, like, a little bit more, like, I'm trying to expand a little more on my life. I kind of did I think it was, like, 2 years ago, the last time I did it, and there's a lot of things that have happened in 2 years, so I'm going to try to just kind of get, I don't know, deeper, I guess, and talk about my, like, younger years a little bit more, and, okay, can I get some help with this? Because it's not. Oh, but it's nope. No, that I just turned it off. Oh, there we go. All right. So younger years. That's my sister. That's me in Korea. I think I was maybe like 3 or 4 years old. I just thought it was cute, so I just put it up there. So I have two younger brothers also. My sister is, her name is Mariah. Those are my brothers. That's them when they graduated high school. That's my mom, my sister, me and my brothers, and my dad. Interesting, right? Okay. So just a couple. Yeah, that was cute too. You saw that, like my pictures. Next one. Yeah, so that's my family. I grew up, like, when I was 8 years old, so I'm just going to jump. When I was 8 years old, my parents, that's not my biological dad. That is my adopted dad. So when I was 8, my parents got a divorce. I have a Caucasian father, but I haven't seen him since I was 8. I was in he was in the Navy. We were living in Japan, and it was just this. I guess the story was kind of like we just one day. Like my parents used to fight a lot. My dad was kind of like a, I don't know. He was just not a healthy person at all. He used to get drunk and go stay, you know, stay out all night and not come home until like 3 a.m. I think like one of the like most vivid images I have of him is I remember, and if I say something crazy, like just don't pay pay attention to it, but like I don't know, don't take it for like I'm just trying to be really honest. That's what I'm trying to say. So one of the most vivid images is I remember he like was sitting on the toilet at like 3 a.m. with like beer bottles all around him, like knocked out, and I was probably like 7 years old. So it's just like he was like kind of like that kind of guy. So when I was 8, like my parents called us all down, and he was, I mean, and but the thing is like we were really close, so he kind of he called us down, and I like sat on his lap, and he's, you know, said like your mom and I are gonna get a divorce, and I was just like, what's that? Like I didn't know what that meant, because like in those years, like growing up to then, I had a from what I remember, I had a pretty like healthy childhood, I guess. Like I was like a good old boy. Like I played baseball. I, you know, wore my pants to my belly button. You know, like I was a good kid. You know, I got straight A's in school. I was like the golden child of the family. So it was kind of like a shock when it happened, because like I didn't know at the time, but it just completely like turned my life around. Thank you, Christy. So after, I think that's the last picture, but just in case. Oh, that's my verse. Okay. So after that, my mom has had some family friends in Augusta. So we pretty much just like got up and flew to Georgia, just like, but without my dad. So the story that was going on is my dad was cheating on my mom with another woman, the other woman, and she had 2 kids. So it was, so he was cheating. My mom found out. It was like this big old, I didn't know until I got older, like the real story, but like he did some pretty, you know, messed up stuff. So yeah, that's not a good thing. So my mom was still trying to like work it out with him, but you know, it just wasn't working. Like, especially with someone like that, you know, he was just so lost in whatever he was doing. So we moved, stayed with some family friends for like a year. I started going to school here, right here in Hepzibah, and I went to, I don't remember the school, Jamestown Elementary. So I was like, and it was like a complete, like, different world for me. Like, I we were really poor. We didn't have, like, even, like, a washing machine and a dryer. Like, I remember we would wash clothes in, like, the bathtub and just, like, go in and, like, stomp around, like, pouring soap, you know, and then, like, hanging everything up. So it's, like, we were really poor. My mom, like, worked 3 jobs. My dad wasn't paying child support, even though he was supposed to, because they were still married. And, yeah, so, like, in the heart, you know, it sounds like it doesn't make sense, like, why wouldn't she get child support? But, you know, she was, like, full Korean, very little English. Like, she could speak English to us, but she couldn't, like, go out. She couldn't go to get a lawyer and say, hey, my, you know, husband's not paying child support. So there was nothing that she could really do at the time. So it was just really hard. You know, we had some family friends that helped, but we couldn't, you know. My mom was just doing the best she could. So growing up as a kid, like, I was, like, the only Asian guy in, like, an all-black school, so I felt really left, like, out of place. I was, like I said, I played baseball as a kid, so, like, that was something that I, like, really was, like, I felt like, I mean, I was pretty good, you know, as a kid, so, like, that was something that I, like, really loved doing, and we didn't have health insurance, so I couldn't play baseball, and even if I did, like, my mom's working 3 jobs, so, like, my life just completely, like, it just kind of sucked. But the thing is, like, when you're 8 years old or 9 years old, you don't really know that your life sucks, you know? Like, we had a dog, so my mom would go to work all day, and we would let the dog come in the house, and the dog would chase us around the house. We'd, like, knock couches over and just go crazy, and it was, like, fun. Like, I remember it was fun, but it was not good for 4 kids to be doing stuff like that. So, so kind of as I got older and went to middle school and stuff, I still kind of had this, like, identity crisis, but I just didn't really know who I was. Or who I was just, like, changing, and I didn't know it. I remember one story, one, like, kind of glimpse into my life then was in middle school. Like, I was still a straight-A student, which would change soon, but I like didn't have any like real friends. So what I would do is, well, I didn't do it, but they kind of just knew, like, so I was getting straight A's, and all the kids that weren't getting like good grades, they would like be my friend. And then whenever we would take tests and stuff, we had this system for cheating. So it would be one guy like putting up the number for the question, and then I'd be the answer man because I know the answers. So it'd be like A, like I'd put my hand on the desk, it's A, B, C, D, and like I'd have like 10 guys cheating off of me at one time. So it was pretty thorough. And then so, you know, middle school kind of like was a blur. Like my whole childhood was kind of a blur. I don't really remember much. Like day-to-day stuff. I just remember I cared about video games and Game Boys and, you know, just kid stuff. So when I was in the eighth grade, my mom got remarried. So as it's going on, like, life got better. She got more accustomed to being in the States. She got a better job. She got a car, you know, stuff like that. So things got better, but we were still kind of poor, like, but so what happened was my mom got married to my dad, which at the time was my stepdad. So then my stepdad, he adopted all four of us. So, like, you know, he became my actual dad. So that was cool. I was really excited when that happened. Like, I was like, yeah, I finally get a dad, because I was like a daddy's boy as a kid. And, you know, at this point, what, eighth grade, that's like 12 years old. So I hadn't seen my real dad in like 4 years. So, like, I think I talked to him on the phone one time after we moved here, and he was like on a boat, you know, somewhere in the ocean. So like that's one part I kind of skipped. When, like, as this is going on, like, I'm like crying myself to sleep every night because my dad like left us, you know, and I didn't know what was going on. So like that part was still there, like I was still hurting, you know, and I didn't know, like, because I didn't know if he was going to come back. I didn't know what the situation was. I didn't know if, like, you know, what was going to happen. Like, I still had this hope. So then I guess when my mom got remarried and he adopted us, I was like, all right, well, you know, I don't care about that guy. You know, screw him. Like, I got a new dad. So that was, you know, a good moment. And then so I changed my entire name. People don't know this, but my name is John Curry. But before I got adopted, my name was Philip Lee. So I changed my entire name when I was in the eighth grade. And I got to pick my name. So I had, like, what was my list? Like, Gohan was one of my names. No, it was really one of my names. And I don't know why. Like, no, like, I played football, like Madden I had something, I don't remember, PlayStation or something. And I used to change my player's name to, like, Gohan, or, like, all my options, like, all the names I had. And I would play with them, and whoever, like, did the best, like, that was like, okay, that guy's looking good. Like, I might pick that name. So it was like Gohan, I think Roberto. I don't know why. I legit wanted to change my name to Roberto, and I don't know. So I ended up picking John because, I don't know, I think I just wanted something simple, something that wasn't, you can't make fun of John. Like, how do you make fun of John? It's pretty simple, you know. Well, that's, I like that. So, so yeah, changed my name. Everything was kind of good for a little bit. I started playing sports in the eighth grade, so I was on a basketball team, so that was fun. So things were looking better. But little did I know, I had a lot of issues with my dad. He is like former military, so he was like really strict and like kind of really got, like, we lived like a super strict lifestyle. Like, I never spoke back to my dad. Like, if he said something, like, I did it like immediately. So he had this like culture of like we lived like in like a barracks, you know. Like, I don't know if it was good. I think a part of it was good, but it was kind of hard living like that. I think so what was going on in like our family, like, culture was like, my sister was like not really like I was the golden child and she was like not the golden child. So like my dad, like my mom would really get on my sister, and like, you know, why aren't you doing good in school, and like really like kind of give her a hard time. And my dad, for some reason, I don't, like, he just connected with my sister, so they would kind of like argue about her, and then my dad would kind of like turn towards me. And like, I know this, like, it's like, oh, you know, you're saying like your dad treated you bad, but Like, he really did. Like, he admitted it, like, years later. He was like, yeah, like, I treated you really bad. Like, he, for some reason, he had this, like, mentality or, like, some kind of, I don't know why, he had this mentality that I was, like, super manipulative. And I'd, like, try to, like, I'd lie and I'd trick my siblings into, like, doing stuff. And, like, I was just, like, this mastermind, like, I don't know, this evil genius. But I wasn't. So he, like, really, like, was, like, really, like, cold and, like, hard to me. And, like, I don't, yeah. So that was going on. Like, it was pretty, like, it was pretty hard. So as that happened, like, I started thinking about my real dad more. And I'm like, dang, like, what is he doing? What is he up to? So, like, I just got all these, like, emotions and stuff and, like, all this dysfunction going on in my house. And I think that's around the time that I started coming here. Like around the 9th grade and 10th grade. So I think, I mean, people have seen glimpses of it. Like Howard, I know he has. I remember one time we were going on some kind of like camp, not camp, like a picnic or something. And I really wanted to go. And like my mom drove me here and like I got out and then my dad pulled up and then my dad's like, no, get in the car. Like you can't go. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm here. Like, why can't I go? And like, I'm crying. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You're psycho. And then like, I can't go. And then I didn't go. So it was just like, there's a lot of like mess, in my childhood, you know? So as I got older, like went through high school, my mom and my dad used to fight a lot about me because my mom would be like on my side and my dad would be against me. So, what would happen is, like, I think once I hit, like, the 10th grade, my mom was like, all right, you need to stop. Just, like, don't even deal with John. Like, just leave him alone. Like, I'll take care. Like, I'll parent him. So then, like, me and my dad, like, just, like, we didn't talk. Like, he'd come home, and I wouldn't even say anything to him. Or it was just, like, I didn't even know this guy, you know? So, I mean, but at the same time, it was kind of, like, I was happier. Because now, like, he's not bothering me. I can just, you know, like, do my thing. My mom's, like, super, like, easygoing with me because she trusts me, which is not a good idea. And then, okay, so high school. So that was, like, high school, 10th grade, 11th grade. So the kind of, like, what changed for me in high school is I went to a different high school. So I wasn't at, like, oh, actually I was. I was at a predominantly black school, but I went to A.R. Johnson, so it was like a magnet school. So it's like a smaller school, but like everyone knows each other, and like everyone's kind of like geeky, like nerdy. So I ended up being like the cool guy. So I was like the coolest guy out of all the nerds. So, yeah, that was I thought it was great. So I went to A.R. Johnson, and then I started playing soccer in my 10th grade year. And, like, I found out I was really good at it, or at least as good as the nerds were. So I kind of got, like, really popular in school, and everyone, like, knew me. And, like, all the girls, oh, John, like, I don't care about you, you know. I was just like that. I was just, like, the cool guy, you know. And my class was, like, 80. Like, there was 80 people in my class. So that was good. That was fun, not good. So I guess during that time, like, I became more confident in, like, in who I was and my identity. I was the athlete, like, I was cool. You know, I was still getting decent grades in, like, 11th grade and, like, in 10th grade and, like, half of 11th grade. But, I after, like, the second half of, like, 11th grade, I got, like, senioritis or whatever in 11th grade. So I just kind of, like, stopped doing anything. Like, I just didn't do work. And I don't think, like, I'm a super smart guy, but I guess I, like, have the ability to remember things that I hear while I'm sleeping. So I would sleep, like, every class, like first through, like, we had 7 periods, and I would literally sleep from, like, first to lunch. And then, like, I have my fun classes, so I'd go in, and I remember classes where I walk into the class, and I'd have dialogue with the teacher the whole time, like 45 minutes of me and the teacher going back and forth, just joking and laughing. And people, like, you know, people like when you do that because then you don't do any work. So, I mean, I had this, like, idea of who I was, you know, like, just, I don't know. So that kind of, like, was, I didn't know at the time, but that was, like, really bad for me because that, like, I had no discipline. Like, I had no, like, work ethic. Like, I didn't care about school. I thought I was going to, like, come out and, like, go in the MLS or something. I don't know. I thought I was, like, awesome, but, I mean, I'm not that. Chong was better than me, so, yeah. So, anyways, so I didn't, I mean, I had this, like, false idea of what I thought my life was going to turn out to be, you know, and I could just do whatever I want at the time. So I got older, 12th grade, like, I had, like, a horrible GPA. Like, my, I barely got through. Like, I only graduated because my teachers liked me. Literally, I had, like, 60s, and they'd bump it to 70. So, like, and they'd tell me because they knew I wouldn't say anything because, you know. So, yeah, Eric Johnson, they're corrupt. So I graduated high school. I obviously didn't have enough high enough GPA to, like, get Hope Scholarship or anything. But I wanted to go to college. So I joined the military. So I joined the Army Reserves. What time did I have to stop by? Oh, okay. All right, so I joined the Reserves, and that was kind of good for me. I had more, like, it taught me more discipline. I came out, it was 10 weeks long. I came out, and I was like, sweet. Like, I can get my life, you know, started. Like, I ended up getting an apartment with two of my friends, and I was, 19 at this time. I had a full-time job. I was working at a gas station, and I was, like, making, like, you know, like, $400 a week or something. So I kind of had, and I had a car. My dad gave me a BMW because he felt so bad. So that was cool. But, yeah, I'll tell you about that. Things started looking good. I hadn't done a lot of, like, bad things, per se. Like, I didn't go out and drink a lot or drink at all. Like, I didn't, like, get high or, you know, I didn't smoke cigarettes. You know, I was just a good kid, like, even through high school because, you know, I was an athlete or whatever. So after I got out of the reserves, I got the apartment, started going to GRU or ASU at the time. That didn't last long. I was in school for a month before I dropped out. That was bad. And it's funny because, like, I think about that, I'm like, oh my gosh, you just, like, straight dropped. Like, I didn't even, like, you know how if you, like, sign, like, if you drop out before, like, the midterm or something, right? Like, you, like, it doesn't count. Like, it doesn't count against you. But I just, like, didn't care, so I just, like, stopped going. I didn't, like, fill out the paperwork. Or, you know what I'm saying? That was the kind of person I was. Like, I just flaked out on stuff, and I just didn't care. Like, you know, I'm 19. I don't care. Like, life will, you know, even its way out, you know? So while I dropped out of college and I had this apartment with two of my friends, and we just started partying, like, really hard. I remember I used to get off work at, like, 11 o'clock at night, and then I'd go home and, like, we just drink, get McDonald's and, you know, get high. And I was just crazy. Like, I didn't know, like, this was, like, my first taste of freedom. So I just went wild. Like, my dad, I guess, thinking back, like, my dad, I guess he was so strict, and I just didn't, you know, I wasn't able to, like, you know, do, like, even, like, little stuff that, you know, kids, like, normally do at, like, 16 or 17, like, go out to eat with their friends and stuff. Like, I remember I didn't, like, go to, like, I didn't go to any restaurants when I was a kid. Like, the only restaurants we went to were, like, Chinese buffets and, and Ryan's and stuff. So, like, I kind of, like, just went wild when I got out of the reserves. So, and then another thing that I did was I stopped going. So if you're in the reserves, it's like you go to drill once a month. I stopped going to that too. So I just completely, like, dropped everything and just, like, partied and, you know, worked at a gas station. I don't know. Things were kind of, like, solid like that for, like, about 8 months, maybe 8-9 months. And then, things, like, my life just started crashing down, as expected. So after the apartment, we ended up getting evicted, because we were, like, living next to some drug dealers, and then, like, they were, like, all the way, always in and out of our house, and we were just, like, crazy. So this is kind of a interesting story. We had a friend who lived, like, in the neighborhood, like, down the street. And he ended up, like, we were all at work, and he ended up, like, coming in our house and, like, robbing us, like, stealing all our stuff. So he didn't steal any of my stuff because I didn't have any good stuff. So he stole all my friend's stuff, but I was just as mad. So we find out Sherlock Holmes it and, like, found out it was him. So we, like, confronted him and, like, you know, it was just crazy. And we, like, you know, threatened him and stuff like that. Like, well, one of us did. So we threatened him, and then, like, we went back to our house, and we're, like, you know, hot, and we're, like, mad and angry. And what ends up happening is he comes back, like, he comes back with, like, 20 people, like, 20 people, and, like, bangs our door. And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I got my, like, I thought, I see him at my window. I remember, I see him at my window. I'm like, that's him. And I put my shoes on. I run to the door, and I go, and, like, it's, like, a little, like corridors, like, between the, like, the apartments. So I run, and I see him. He's coming at me, and I'm just like, you know, like, look at my leg. Oh, man, I'm going to, you know, tear this guy up. So then I'm like, maybe from me to Sean before, like, 20 guys come behind him. Like, they come in like ants and just come behind him. And then I just, like, stop. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I didn't, like, turn and run. I don't know why I didn't, but I just kind of like, oh, my goodness, and just start, like, stepping backwards. And then they're all just, like, you know, looking crazy, and I was just scared out of my mind. So the moral of the story, or the climax, I guess, is they came back to my door, and, like, one of the guys came out with, like, a mask on his face, and he, like, pointed a gun at my face, like, right here. And I was just like, whoa, you ain't got to do this, man. Like, I don't even care. You could take it. You could have it all. Like, I don't want anything. Like, I have all my stuff. I guess I'm just saying that story just to show you, like, how, like, crazy, like, and, like, stupid, you know, I was, like, my life was at the time. So, let's talk about God now. As all this stuff is going on, like, we got evicted. I didn't know, like, what to do. Like, I didn't know why, like, my life was, like, so crazy. Like, my friend wrecked my car because I let him drive it because we were, like, I was drunk and, you know, just, like, everything was going downhill. Like, I lost everything that I, like, thought that was, like, really important. And it is important, like, practical stuff. Like, I was evicted. I lost my car. I quit my job because, like, I got offended by my boss. So I was just, like, you know, just all over the place. And I remember, like, I was still coming to church, which was interesting. You know, like, I'm doing, like, all this wild stuff, but at the same time, like, for some reason, I guess I had friends here, and I just kept coming to church, and, like, I'd listen to the sermon and leave, but I feel like God really, like, used all that history that I had with people. And I remember talking to Howard after, like, all this stuff is going on. Like, my friend had just wrecked my car, and I was just like, dude, what do I do? Like, what's going on? Like, why is my life like this? And then he just kind of, helped me see myself for the first time. And I don't know. I remember it was Howard, Chicken. I don't know if you guys remember Chicken. And me, my name is Fish. We were on the way. Like, for some reason, like, we had a winter retreat, and one of my friends that, like, was, like, you know, doing all that stuff with me, he was just like, dude, you should really go. Like, you really should go to that, you know. And I was just like, well, I mean, I guess, like, if I can, if, like, I get, because we were in, like, Atlanta or something for New Year's, and I was like, if we get back in Augusta in time, like, don't rush, but if we do, then I guess I'll go. So he ended up, like, rushing to get me back, which I kind of feel like, I don't know, I guess he saw that my life was really messed up, so he was like, yeah, you need to go. So I got back to Augusta, and then I went to the retreat with us, and I remember we were stopping at Wendy's, and it was me, Chicken, and Howard, and I was just like, dude, look at my, like, life, like, what is this mess, like, why is this happening to me, like, and they kind of just, like, showed me, like, look at your life, you know, like, look at this, look at all this dysfunction, look at all the pain and, like, problems that you've had, and, like, everything that's come against you, like, this is kind of, like, what happens when that happens to you, you know. And it was funny because I remember, like, I never thought I was, like, an unhealthy person. Like, I never got addicted to, like, drugs or, like, you know, I like to drink a lot, but, I mean, I was a kid. Like, I mean, I was young. Like, that's what we do, right? No, that's not what we do. but, you know, from the world's view, like, that's normal. That's what guys, kids do. And I think, it was a really big, like, eye-opener. Like, I really, like, was, like, wow, like, I am, like, super messed up, you know, and it's, you know, it was funny, because it was the first time that I ever thought that I was unhealthy, you know, I always, I knew bad stuff happened to me, but I it's funny, as a kid, I was like, I'm just going to be that, you know, that miracle story, you know, I'm just going to be that rags to riches guy, you know, and I honestly believed myself, that I was just going to, somehow make it, you know, I'm just going to be rich and, you know, have everything that I want, you know, just by being me. And I didn't know that I had all these problems and all these deep, you know, seated issues, in my heart and in my habits and everything that I surrounded my life around. Yeah. So that talk was just an eye opener. And I remember we went and then we ended up going to the retreat and we were singing the song and I was just sitting down and I was I'm not feeling this. I don't feel God. I don't even really know who God is. I don't feel some kind of magical Holy Spirit making me feel awesome and oh my God, I love you. And I was just sitting down. Everyone was crying their eyes out, and I remember I'm just stone faced. I don't, you know, what is wrong with you guys? And I remember I don't know what it was, but I just kind of had this moment when I was just well, if you are, you know, if you are real God, if this is really you, then show me, prove it, you know, show me who you are. And I didn't say prove it. I just said show me. So for some reason, I just started getting super emotional. And just I don't know, I had this moment when I was just okay, I see what you're about, God. And I just stood up and started crying too, you know? And then I was just I can't do this. And I remember how I was right here and I was praying and I was singing and then I was just crying and I was I gotta get out of here. So I just kind of go and then wait, was it you, Howard, or Chicken? Do you remember this? You don't remember anything. It was Chicken. And so I walked by and Chicken was hey, are you okay? He's trying to stop me, trying to talk to me. I was no, get off me. So I go outside and I run to there's a gazebo and I just sat there and I was just praying. I was God, you know, change me, change my life. I want to be, you know, I want to feel your love and I want my life to change. And so yeah, I got saved. It was awesome. So that's not the end of the story though, because after that, Howard and I got really close. I ended up moving to Columbia to get away from all the bad habits that I had you know, made around me and all the friends that, you know, that I cared about and loved but just weren't good for me, you know, and I couldn't be their friend anymore. And I moved in with Howard and just started learning how to be a man, you know, he really, you know, don't look at me. He really taught me a million things that I didn't even know existed. He helped me budget my money. He taught me so much, you know. Okay. So that was cool. That was good for me. After that, I moved out. So Howard gave me a time limit. So I had to move out in a month. So I had to find a job, I had to find a ride to work, and just somehow all that stuff just lined itself up. I had a friend, he wasn't my friend at the time. I got, Howard had a friend that knew a guy that, you know, owned a landscaping company, so he got me the hookup. So I started working there, and I met a guy my first week who lived down the street. So then he started picking me up every day, and I started going to work, and I moved out. I met some guys, we got an apartment, and you know, Christian guys, so it was good. I had this small community, and my boss and all the workers were Christians, so they encouraged me, and I was just going through this process of healing and learning about God and learning what it means to be a Christian and learning practically what it means to have God in your life. So after a while, you know, of doing that, I had the apartment and I just worked there for a while. And I don't know the exact time frame, but I started getting farther from God. I didn't really have Howard right there to you know, I wasn't living with him, so he wasn't right there to encourage me every day. I don't know. I can't really say exactly how I think it was kind of you know, the slow fade Howard talks about. I just started getting farther and farther from God. I started getting my life together, and I think when I started doing that, I stopped relying on God, and I just started picking up old habits, you know? Like, it'd be, like, once a month. Like, you know, one weekend a month, I'd go out, you know, with some guys that I knew. Or, you know, it started slow, and I just started, like, doing stuff again. Like, started smoking again, and I started, like drinking again. And I just started, like, enjoying that stuff and remembering how fun it was. And, like, oh, this is cool. I can balance it. Like, I'm okay now. Like, I'm healthy. Like, I know how to, you know, keep it cool. Like, not go crazy with it. So, as that happened, I started getting crazy with it again. And I remember you guys like heard my testimony. This is like after I shared my testimony. This is not like, oh, this is before Fish came here and before Fish got saved. This is like in between, you know? And I think that's the thing that like hopefully encourages you, is that it's not like, you know, oh, I'm saved now, so I'm not going to do that stuff anymore. And I know, like, we all hear about, like, the highs and lows. And the thing that I, like, realize now is, like, my lows weren't, like, a week or, like, 2 weeks. It was, like, my lows were, like, 2 months, you know, or 3 months. And I was, like, not thinking about God, and I was far from God. And, you know, I felt it. I felt it because, like, my life started crumbling, you know. And another thing that happened was I got a DUI last year. Last year I got a DUI. And that was during one of my lows. And like, I, you know, I say that and like, oh, you got DUI. But for me, I don't know, like, I was talking to Sam yesterday, and he asked me this question, and he said, I just need to remember what he asked me. He said, oh, if there's like one thing that you can change, if you can go back and change, in your life, like you could go back and like fix it, you know, and like move on, would you do it? And I remember as like growing up, like I, like, you know, even in my like early 20s, when I kind of knew I was messing up, like I kind of knew that I screwed up a lot, like when I dropped out of school or I stopped going to the reserves or, you know, like wrecked my car, like I wish that I could just go back and fix it, you know. Like I remember I used to daydream about that a lot. And when Sang asked me that question yesterday, I just kind of was like thinking about it, and I honestly could say no, like I wouldn't. And the reason I say that is because if I was, you know, like a little bit healthier, you know, of a person, or like if I fixed that mistake, then I don't know if I would have like relied on God like I have, you know, that I know that I should. Like, through all those mistakes and problems and like everything that happened, all the like dramatic stuff that happened, like I realized how important God is for me and like how practical He is. Like I need Him every day. You know, I need Him to be a part, like specifically, you know, or I'm just gonna like fall apart again. I'm gonna get another DUI. Like if I stop following God, I'll probably have a DUI this year, you know? And it's like, that sounds crazy, like so dramatic, but I really honestly feel that way. Because I know me, you know, I know who I am. I know what kind of life that I've had, and I know how messed up I am. And I guess, like, my little piece to you guys is I've always had this kind of mentality here where I felt like you guys might feel different from me. Like, you guys might feel like, and it is true, it's true, because most of you guys, and I'm not saying everyone, but most of you guys don't have a broken family. Like, you guys have both parents, and you guys, like care about your grades, and, like, did good in school, and, like, have a healthy life, and that's awesome. Like, I envy you, you know? Like, I think that's, like, a beautiful thing to have, you know? I actually live with Howard now, again. I live with him. He has a bigger house now. And I see Josiah, and I'm just like, see like how much like difference it makes to have like two healthy parents that love God, you know. And I think the thing that I get from that is that God, like, we don't know how God works, you know. We don't know like what mysterious ways that He changes your path. Like, my life and the way it looked, I should not be here in front of you guys sharing my testimony, you know? I'd be like smoking or something, or, you know, or hanging out, like caring, like, you know, doing anything. I have no idea what I'd be doing right now. I don't know where I'd be. I might be in jail right now. I have no idea. And I think if anything, if you guys get anything from my story, it's that God, it's that I don't want you guys to think that you have to be like super like messed up or like super, like you have to have such a dramatic, drastic like life, you don't have to like hit rock bottom like that to experience God or know that God's important, like the most important thing in your life. Okay, this is like my major point, so I want to like say it right. Like I said, I feel like you guys might think that I'm like super like different, and I'm not trying to like sound cocky or like fool of myself or think that like, yeah, I've got it figured out earlier than you guys, but I think since I've like hit this point in my life so early-ish, I guess, I'm 23, but like I like had such a, you know, bad life growing up, like I realized earlier than some that I need God, that I really need God in my life. And I think the thing that I want to like you guys to know is that I don't want you guys to like be 30 with like, you know, 30 married with kids and then you're like, oh crap, I need God, you know, like I can't do this without God. And I think that's like the hard part about like being a healthy person, like having a healthy childhood, because like it's easy to like, and now for me it's easier too, because like I have like a healthier life now. Like it's easy for me to just wake up and go to work and come back and eat dinner and, you know, just chill, you know, hang with the kids a little bit and go to bed. It's really easy for me to just like just zip through my days and not think about God at all. And I think the one thing that I know now is that stuff accumulates into like just that slow fade, and then before you know it, you're just like, I haven't prayed in months, or like I don't know who God is right now. Like, and I feel like for me in my life, the most important part about my walk with God is when I realized it, that I turned back to Him, because like we're all like sinful. Like I know I'm sinful, and I know that my tendency is to walk away from God, and I know that the most important thing I can do is just, once I realize it and once I see it, and like surrounding myself around people that love God and that will call me out and say, hey, Fish, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? That I can look at myself and say, I need to like reconnect with God. So that's like kind of like my challenge to you. Like, look at yourself, look at your life. See if you just go through the monotony of your day and just don't think about God. And the harder part for you guys is that it's not like a big deal. Like if you don't, like it doesn't look like a big deal. For me, if I'm away from God, I do all that crazy stuff. For you guys, you might just binge watch Netflix or, you know, like just other stuff. And it doesn't seem that crazy for you to be far from God. So I think that's kind of a dangerous thing. It's good that you're not, you know, doing all that crazy stuff, but it's kind of like harder to see. So my challenge would be to like just evaluate yourself and see where you are and where you stand with God, and read the Bible. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much, Lord, for everything that you've done in my life. I know that without you, I'd be lost in the world and I'd be a completely different person. I just thank you that you're so powerful and so awesome and so loving that you just completely transform people in ways that you know, we can't even imagine. I pray that you would just put a fire in all of our hearts, Lord, to come to you in those moments and just realize how important you are. Like, no matter who you are, no matter if you're 60 or 6 or wealthy or poor, that you're important and that you're the most important thing in our lives that we could ever wish for. Just thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.